It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's already mid-June. The year is almost halfway by. It's unbelievable. Depending on when you're listening to this, the 16th or 17th, 9 o'clock on the 16th and 7:05 on the 17th. But if you're listening to this on the 16th, I'm in the process of doing the Northeast Delta Dental Mount Washington Road Race. We did tape this particular show. So my running friends, some of whom will be on the hill with me, so to speak, we call that race the only hill. But in any event, that's a fun race. And I just want to give a big shout out to the Auto Row that puts on such a great performance of that race. And we're having video of it as well with drones, so you'll be able to see the grade of that race. Last week, of course, we had Lisa Matthews, who's one of the event directors at the Auto Road, and she did a great job describing who might win this year's race. Joe Gray is not participating this year, and he's been a four-time winner, so there'll definitely be a new winner. So when you hear my voice in next week's show, we'll tell you who the winner is. This program now has been running about 6 years, and it's awesome because as connected as I think I am in New Hampshire, I always learn something new, and so that's sort of the headline for this show. So today's topic is introducing Media Power Youth, and with me is Rona Zalokauer, who is the executive director. And Rona, thank you for joining me this weekend, and hopefully I got your name perfectly.
Very, very perfectly.
Thank you. So you're a friend of my great VP of Human Resources, Connie Roy-Jakowski, another difficult name to pronounce, so I'm so glad we connected. So tell us, what is Media Power Youth?
Well, in 2000, I, with two pediatricians in Manchester who were caring for the underserved and uninsured pediatric population, Dr. Selma Deitch and Rob Nordgren, created Media Power Youth because they were seeing that children at younger and younger ages were beginning to exhibit at-risk behaviors. And even controlling for all factors that influence kids, it was pretty clear that media was having a very powerful influence in children's lives. And we felt like we needed to do something about it. So we created Media Power Youth. And we started locally and then regionally and now statewide. And soon our curriculum, which is nationally evidence-based now, is we hope to market nationally. So for 17 years, we've been empowering youth to lead safe, healthy, successful lives through smart use of media.
That's great. And, putting on a couple of conferences with John Broderick on the mental health and addiction crisis, the more I get into this field, I mean, there's a serious, even bigger than I thought, epidemic on the drug crisis. So I'm glad that you're on top of this. Now, in your history, tell us about your prior positions. You served as president of the New Hampshire Task Force on Child Abuse and Neglect. And of course, as you know, we have a Prevent Abuse and Neglect Through Dental Awareness program, so I'm pretty familiar with that. And you also chaired the corporate front of New Hampshire, and you were on the board of New Hampshire Women's Fund and the Governor's Substance Use Prevention Task Force. So tell us about some of those experiences. And how does someone that got a BS from Syracuse and landed New Hampshire? So I've asked a mouthful. It's cold in Syracuse.
So all of those positions were, of course, voluntary board positions. But I have always been drawn. I have a master's in communications, but I've always been drawn to children's health issues and public health issues. So this was sort of the perfect combination of all of those experiences and what we were dealing with this new revolution of media in our lives.
So when we say that we're the only New Hampshire organization to be listed on the National Registry of Evidence-Based Program and Practices, explain to the listening audience why that is such a compelling designation.
Thank you. That's very compelling because, as you know, these days, in order to get programs funded and get them into schools and have credibility, you need to prove that your program is effective, that there really is evidence that it does what what you say it does. So when we created Media Literacy for Safe and Healthy Choices for 4th through 6th grade, we said we can help children better understand how violence is portrayed in media, how unhealthy food is marketed to them and causes tooth decay and obesity and all kinds of health problems. And we can help them figure out how tobacco and alcohol and substances are being marketed to them. And we can help them understand that, help them create their own positive messaging, and also help them make better choices about those issues. And so we worked with schools in Manchester and partnered with Children's Hospital Boston, the Center on Media and Child Health, who were researchers who were amazed that we were doing this work. And over 10 years of implementation and evaluation and working with educators, we had proved that this program was effective, that kids who took it really thought differently about how they saw media messages, violence, substance use, and unhealthy food advertising and marketing.
Some of these trends that we've seen, you know, the average screen time for kids increasing by 10.5 hours a day, 2 10.5 hours a day, teen anxiety and depression on the rise. Your organization does it, first of all, getting that information out there, is that the first stage to make sure people understand what the statistics and what's really going on out there, and then teaching teachers and students then what to do about it? Is that kind of the approach?
Yes, and an important part of that equation is parents, because remember, it's parents who are enabling the kids to have iPads and cell phones and apps and cable TV time and movies, etc. And what we really should say first is that media isn't bad. Media is neutral. It's really how it's used, to what extent it's used, whether it's appropriate for age levels or when and how much kids are using it, that really is the issue. We do have freedom of press in this country, and we'll always have media. Some of it we may disagree with and it may be questionable, but it's how it's used and how it's monitored and when it's used, and also what else children are doing in their lives, you know, how much contact they have with parents and teachers and friends in person, because that's really how kids develop their empathy and their appropriate responses and emotional competence and ability to relate to each other. So we have seen, by the way, as you mentioned, that teen anxiety and depression recently, this is quite recent, are spiking in correlation to adoption of phone use by teens. So there's no question that that kids are spending a lot of time with social media and phones and texting and on the internet, and that is causing them to feel more isolated and depressed, and also that sometimes it feeds mental illness. So it isn't necessarily the cause of suicide or depression and anxiety, but it's feeding a lot of that anxiety that they already may have.
So I just finished a book with Professor Burrell on mindfulness, and of course, you know, it's more or less addressed to adults, but I think we need this too. So you have an online training, mediapoweryouth.org, and we'll talk about that momentarily. But you, in addition to Manchester, you've been training over about 190 New Hampshire school districts. So do you get invited? Is that a organic grassroots level? Do you get invited by a local principal? I know you also have the Department of Education on board when you launched Real Talk for Teacher about media. And as you know, I was chair of the State Board of Ed, so I'm aware of that. So is it a combination of getting the overarching support from the Department of Education and then at the grassroots level getting to all these school districts?
It's a combination of all of them. And really, the reason we were able to get to over 60%, train personnel from over 60% of school districts in that evidence-based program that we were just talking about, Media Literacy for Safe and Healthy Choices, is that after Sandy Hook, the governor and the attorney general, three attorney generals, were very concerned about how much media violence played a role in some particularly horrific crimes committed by youth in New Hampshire. So they and the Department of Education and the U.S. attorney and the Pediatric Society and numbers of other organizations, the superintendents and the principals, came together and decided that we really needed media literacy in the schools, that it was a part of the formula of keeping kids healthy and safe to make healthy choices. So sometimes it's a superintendent, sometimes it's a principal. The Department of Justice announced that this program was available. The Attorney General was very active in it. So people get to us through a number of different ways. Sometimes it's parents. We're now educating a lot of Head Start and early educators who say that we really need to get to kids at 3, 4, and 5 years old before they have their own access to media.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in that. As you probably know, I've chaired the Early Learning New Hampshire Board for many years and now a board member. And so to me, how we treat human beings from 0 to 4 is the best predictor for adult success. I always get this question when this is New Hampshire after all. So how are you funded so you can keep, I mean to have done all this training at 190 schools? I mean, I don't know if you're a one woman band or if you have a staff and volunteers. So how, and funding. Tell us about that.
So that's a large part of what we've had to do. You know, we're not part of a national affiliation. So pretty much we have sought grants and contributions. Then the Department of Justice stepped forward we're now in our fifth year funding for the violence prevention through media literacy. The Department of Education gave us a wonderful opportunity to do the educator training on their web training for professional development. And so it's been a combination of government, foundation, individual contributions. And we're always now with this evidence-based curriculum, we're hoping to be able to market it to other states and derive earned income.
So if someone wanted to donate to your organization, how would they do that?
They would go to www.mediapoweryouth.org. That's mediapoweryouth, all one word, .org. Or call us at 603-222-1200.
Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio on this June 16th and 17th. And this weekend joining me is Rona Zlockauer from Media Power Youth. Before I get back to Rona, just a big shout out as well to my running friends for doing the Over the River and Through the Woods race a week ago that began at Northeast Delta Dental. We crossed over 93, went into the Forest Society and back. So that was one of the races of the Capital Year Race Series. But let's get right back to Rona. Rona, could you first start again with a brief summary of your mission and then the website information if people want to contact you to make a contribution. And then I really want to get into, power tips for parents, moms, and dads for this summer because we all know our kids are sort of wedded, to their iPhones. So we want to deal with that this summer. So Rona, go ahead.
Great. So we are empowering youth to lead healthy, safe, successful lives through smart use of media. And of course, in 2018, that's a really big challenge as we are all living tethered to our media of various types. And we know that children especially are not only tethered to media, they're addicted to it. And they need personal contact and parental involvement and educator involvement and lots of community activities to develop the kinds of skills they really need to be successful in the world. And media is important. It's wonderful. It ties them to the world and to opportunities and careers and extraordinary ways of connecting with each other. But it also can be very detrimental if used too much, if used inappropriately. And as we know, kids are getting into a lot of trouble, as adults are, with bullying and all sorts of hurtful and both being hurt and also hurting others with excessive use of media.
And that's one thing. Excuse me. That's one thing. When I was at the state board, some of the rules and policies and guidelines haven't caught up to today's world of technology and social media. So, the bullying guidelines. I mean, we have to understand how it relates all to social media. And as a point you made earlier, the increasing rates of anxiety and suicide rates, there's obviously some relationship to this sort of world we live in. So let's now get to what I know moms and dads who listen to the show on the weekend, they're running through soccer games and things like that, and this time of year, Little League games. But let's get some practical tips for parents as the school is ending.
Yeah, summers are particularly both a risk time and also an opportunity time for parents and kids. You know, there's the risk that kids are spending a lot of time on media unsupervised, which is when we know that kids get in trouble and are exposed to a lot of things and are doing things they shouldn't do. But it's also that opportunity. I tell parents to really remember what you loved about summer when you were kids, walks in the woods, plunging into cold lakes, jumping through waves at the beach, spending time at local parks and in recreation programs, long evenings playing outside, listening to stories, summer picnics, stargazing, making new friends at the beach and at the camp, because it would be really easy to replace all those things with movies, apps, and, you know, endless hours of texting. So, and your kids will be back in school really soon before they know it, so they really don't need to use that technology over the summer. Another thing that you need to remember is that you really are your child's role model, and that if you can leave media home when you're with the kids this summer, you'll be giving them a gift that really has an endless value. Keeping mealtime and cookouts and picnics free of media. Focus on the food and the fun and the conversation. Your children really need and crave your attention. They won't tell you that. In fact, they'll act like they don't want it. But research shows that they really crave it, and what they want most is for parents to drop their cell phones and get off media. Don't ban media, because, you know, then you become the bad guy, but limit it and give them a lot of real experiences that they're going to remember.
And on that point, that's a really good point. I recently spoke at a Concord High School senior night, and when I speak in front of youth, I always say, because I pull out my iPhone and say, I know social media is here to stay, and part of my job, I have to tweet, I have to do corporate Facebook, I do it all. For me to communicate sometimes with my kids, I have to text. So I get it, but you still need that human connection. So I think what I found is that once I acknowledge that we're not saying, you know, let's ban social media, and that there's a time and place for it, but there's also time and place for the human connection and looking people in the eye and, you know, knowing how to interact, in a group, because that's what we're looking for, you know, as an employer. And, you know, clearly while you're eating, boy, I'm sure you've experienced this at restaurants where you see a family and or even a husband and wife, and they're texting back and forth.
Say, why are they out?
Right. I mean, it's like, so anyway, keep going with these tips. They're awesome.
Yeah. And more to what you said, we're hearing from teachers and college professors and employers that younger people have trouble making eye contact and carrying on real conversations. They're used to these bursts and tweets, and they're not comfortable. So you're giving your child an extraordinary gift if you can get them to put media down and engage with you. And use media with the kids. You know, have fun with them. Have them teach you a new app and talk about what they're using. A good thing we always tell parents, especially of younger children, is plan something after the media. If you allow some media time, say, okay, we're going to spend a half an hour using media, and then we're going to go up for an ice cream, or we're going to have a picnic or go for a walk, so that the media isn't the reward. There's something after it and around it. And try not to use media as a reward. Sometimes I hear parents in a store saying, if you're quiet while we're shopping, you can play with your iPad when we get home. Try to make those rewards sitting on the floor playing a game or playing ball with your kids or going for a walk. Pick an activity you can do together. And then talk about media when you're using it. What's real? What's not? Ask your kids when they're watching a commercial, what story's being told? What story isn't being told? If this were to happen in real life, would that character be able to get up and play that game again, or would he be dead? Talk about special effects and how media is constructed, that media isn't there to entertain them. It really is there for a purpose, to sell them something or to ask them to continue watching so they can be advertised to, or to get them to adopt a certain behavior or lifestyle, you're really giving them a tremendous gift if you make them media literate and think critically about things.
This is a learning for me because, the reality is there's media, but it's okay, to talk about it. You know, what did you think of that that show? What did you think of? I know sometimes with my teenage kids, we'll flip back and forth between CNN and Fox, and the same story, and there's different shades on those, and we have that discussion. So that's actually a good thing to discuss media.
A really good thing. They're going to have. What happens is that the kids who took our program in the fourth, fifth, and sixth grades, they have different ways of relating to media once they go through this. They may still watch it and enjoy it, but they're thinking all the time, I really don't want to get manipulated or tricked by this. I know this isn't real.
So they're an educated consumer of social media. Yeah. You must have some great partners out there. You've mentioned the New Hampshire Charitable Fund. You've mentioned the Department of Education. So why don't you elaborate on a few of the other support systems out there?
Sure. The Charitable Foundation, numerous foundations, including Cogswell Benevolent Trust and Mackinac Foundation and the Bean Foundation over the years, many foundations. The Gruber Foundation helped us start the whole program. And also the Department of Justice has had a key role in supporting us through violence prevention, through media literacy. We've had a very active board. We've had extraordinary staff over the years who've helped produce these programs. The Center on Media and Child Health at Children's Hospital Boston has been a longtime partner and evaluator of our programs. We have worked with many school districts who have contributed, the guidance counselors, the principals, the superintendents. We've had many wonderful partners through the years.
And you recently launched something called Media Literacy for Safe and Healthy Choices through the PCG Education in Portsmouth. Tell us about that.
Yes. So PCG Education helped us take what we were doing in live trainings for educators and bring them online so that we can now market this program, which has been proven effective, to teachers and parents and educators in other states. So that's been a wonderful way for us to get beyond New Hampshire so that we can earn income and spread that mission beyond New Hampshire. And now we have a second and third grade program we're about to launch and a middle and high school program called Screenshots, where we teach middle and high school students how media influences their relationships and violence and substance use, which, as you know, are very, very big issues in that middle and teen population.
Thank you for all you do. So I want to give out a few websites. Your website is MediaPowerYouth, all one word, .org. And this online training is MediaPowerYouth.org/program/online-training. So if you would like to close with, what's the one thing that makes your organization stand out?
Well, thank you. I think it's been our wonderful partnerships that have enabled us to work with educators and with substance use prevention and violence prevention and healthy eating and unhealthy eating. We've been able to create our programs working with many partners. We've been evaluated, which clearly makes us stand out. And we provide a combination of in-person involvement and training and also online resources. So when you get in a room with parents, something magical happens. They realize they're not alone on this issue. They're all feeling like their children are living in a media world that they're not a part of. So we try to do both in-person and online work.
And that's so key that all parents, we're all experiencing the same thing. So this is awesome.